Okay. Today's daf is Mem Gimel. We're going to start at Mem Bet Amud at the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts out, Ve'elu dvarim she'ein nishba'in alehen. Okay, so we talked about the three shvuot, the moda b'mitzah, the shvuot ha'shomrim, and shvuot eidecha, the yuchayv min ha'torah, the shvuot ha'dayanim. And now we're going to say, but if they relate to the following cases, we don't swear about them. Okay, you don't take a shvuot in these cases. What are the cases where you don't take a shvuot min ha'torah? Ha'avadim, v'hashtarot, v'akarkao, v'hekdeshot. Okay, if any of the claims have to do with slaves, shtar, karka, or hekdesh, and we're going to see exactly why. There's going to be this mantra that we've seen a bunch of times about all these things and why they're excluded. Ein behem tashlumei kefel, velo tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Since we're already talking about these things that are exceptions, and we've actually seen this before, they also, those four categories, avadim, shtarot, karka, or hekdeshot, you don't pay kefel for them. Lo tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha, not the four or five times payments, if a shor said that you steal and then slaughter and sell. Shomer chinam eno nishba, nosei sachar eno mashalem. If you're a shomer chinam, you don't swear on these things. If you're a nosei sachar, you don't have to pay. Remember, shomer chinam, if you claim it was stolen or got lost from you, you have to swear. And if you're shomer sachar, you have to pay for those things. If they relate to the following items, those four, evet, shtar, karka, hekdesh, you don't pay for them, and you don't swear for them. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, wait a minute, it depends, when you're talking about hekdesh, there's a difference. It depends whether it's kodashim shechayah b'achra yutan or eno chayah b'achra yutan. What does it mean, chayah b'achra yutan? It means if you say, hare alai korban, and then you separate an animal, and then that animal gets, then you give that animal to someone to watch, and then the animal gets lost, what happens? You have to replace the animal and bring a new animal. What do we call that? According to Rabbi Shimon, or not according to Rabbi Shimon, according to anybody, this is called a davar hagorem lemamon. Because if he loses it now, even though it belongs to Hekdesh, it really is your responsibility to replace it, which means it's a davar hagorem lemamon. And if you recall, we had a machloket about how we treat a davar hagorem lemamon. It's almost like grama benizikin, right? It causes you a monetary loss, even though it wasn't really yours in the first place, because the animal you already designated to Hekdesh. So what did we say? We said that Rabbi Shimon holds the davar hagorem lemamon kim mamon dami. If it's kim mamon, it's as if it's your money. Therefore, if you give it to someone to watch and they lose it, well, they have to return you the value because you were chayav achra yutan. As opposed to, so kodeshim shchayav achra yutan nishbein alehem. If there's any kind of issue, mod mitzat shomer, whatever it might be. But she'eino chayav achra yutan, let's say you said behema zo alai, and then the behema gets lost, then you don't have to replace the behema, in which case it's not a davar goyim lemamon, in which case it's just plain hekdesh, and therefore we're going to say einish bein alehem. Rabbi Meir Omer, now he doesn't disagree with Rabbi Shimon, he's talking about another thing, which is yesh dvarim shehem bekarka, ve'inam, it should be, I think, kikarka, ve'inam kikarka. Okay, there's some things that are like karka and some things that are not like karka. Ve'ein chachamim modim lo. Okay, but chachamim disagree with him. So what is he talking about? It's not clear. Ketzad, now the Gemara Mishnah is going to explain. Eser kfanim t'unot masarti lecha. I gave you 10 vines that are attached to the ground, right? The vines, and they were full of grapes. V'hala omer einan ela chamesh. And the other person says, what are you talking about? You only gave me 5 vines to watch. And here they are. So what is that? Moda b'miktzad. But it's attached to the ground. So how do you view that? Is that land? Is it treated like land? Or is it not treated like land? Rabbi Meir mechayev shvua. Because Rabbi Meir says, this is not like land. Okay? There's some things that are like land, some things that are not. This is not. V'chachamim omrim kol ha'mechubar lakarka harehu kekarka. Okay, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to try to understand better what exactly the basis of their machloket is. You can only take a moda b'miktzat on something that has an exact amount. Now we're talking specifically about moda b'miktzat that has a measurement or a weight or a count. Okay, so what's going to be the case? Ketzad. Bayit male masartilach. V'kis male masartilach. I gave you a house full of fruits, let's say, or a pouch full of money. V'hala omer eini yodea ela ma shehinachta atanotel. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how much there was, but this is what I got from you, and this is what I'm giving back to you. In other words, I'm giving you the house full of whatever happens to be in it right now, or I'm giving you the bag full of whatever's in it right now. Patur, he's patur from Shvua because he doesn't give any sort of measurement here. Aval omer ad haziz, v'zeh omer ad achalon chayav. But if the person says, I gave you the house full up to the ziz is like a protrusion that comes out. It's the assumption of this mission is it's some sort of protrusion that comes out from the, you know, high up in the house. It's taller than the window. So he said, I gave you a house full up to the ziz, and the person's to'ein, you know, you gave me ad achalon, right, the shomer or whoever had it. His possession. He said, what do you mean? You gave it to me up to the chalon. It was less, right? That already is going to be b'midah, b'mishkal, b'minyan. That's already more of a measurement, as opposed to just a house full. We're going to see in the Gemara, they're going to define this a little bit better. So now we're going to start with, and you can look at the first, I gave you all the psukim on the page, okay, on the sheet. And we're going to see, we're going to basically have a klalu pratu klal, which we've seen before. Each klalu pratu klal is based on different psukim from Shmo Perek Kaf Bet. Psukim vav to zayin are shomachinam psukim. Pasuk chet is the kefa pasuk about if you steal something, and pasuk tet to yud aleph is about the nosei sachar. So we're basically going to take a klalu pratu klal from each of those sections. And each one's going to have a klal, then a prat, and then a klal, and we're going to say what? If you have a klal, a prat, a klal, iyat hadan elekein a prat. It has to be things that are similar to the pratim, and in each case, the pratim are going to have the same definitions. So therefore, we're going to say only these and not these, and from there, we're going to exclude all four items. Okay, three from the klal, a prat, a klal, and one from a different word that appears in the psukim. Okay, this re'ehu word. Okay, all three psukim, I should have underlined or bolded them. But if you see in pasuk vav, the word re'ehu is the fifth word there. In pasuk chet, the last word is re'ehu. And in pasuk tet, it's also re'ehu in the fifth word. Okay, so we're going to see, they're going to darshan from re'ehu, that it's re'ehu and not hektesh. So that's the way our drashot are going to work. They're all going to be the same. It's a very similar structure. That's why I charted it out so you can see. Tashlumei kefel minalan. So how do we learn that tashlumei kefel don't apply to these four things? Ditanu rabbanan. Al kol dvar pesha klal. Right? First four words. Al kol dvar pesha, that's going to be a general thing. Al shor, val chamor, val sev, val salma. Oh, that's already prat. Al kol aveda, then it's already a generalization. Chazar v'kalal. Klal u'prat u'klal. Yatadan elekeina prat. Maha prat beforash davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon. What's similar about this prat? Shor, chamor, sev, salma. They're all metaltalin. They all have value, gufo mamon. Therefore, af kol davar ha-metaltel v'gufo mamon. So what's going to be excluded? Yatsu karkaot, which aren't metaltalin. Yatsu avadim, shehu kshu lekarkaot. Avadim, we always say, are like karka, except for the cases where we say they're not. Yatsu shtarot, sh'af al pishe metaltalin. Shtarot can be removable, but ain gufa mamon, right? They don't have any inherent value. The piece of paper isn't worth, you know, it's worth a teeny bit, but it's not worth what the value of what we're talking about is. And hekdesh, re'eyu k'tiv. Hekdesh is excluded because it says in the pasuk re'eyu. Okay, now we're going to see again the same thing. Not yet. In a minute, we're going to get to it. But what about lo arba'a v'chamisha? Notice that's not listed in the chart here. How do we know it's excluded from arba'a v'chamisha? My taima, tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha marachmana. Because the pasuk said arba'a v'chamisha, v'lo tashlumei shlosha v'arba'a. If we already exclude kefel, then when are you going to have to do arba'a v'chamisha? Only when there's arba'a v'chamisha. But arba'a v'chamisha is made up of the keren is one, the kefel is two, and then we add an additional two or three for the arba'a v'chamisha. So you'll, in essence, if you eliminate kefel, because we just said kefel doesn't apply to these, you're going to end up with a tashlum, shlosha v'arba'a, and that's not what it talks about in the Torah, and therefore it doesn't apply to tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Interesting proof. Shomer chinam eino nishma. Menan emile. Now we're going to go back to the klal pratu klal. How do we know shomer chinam? Detanu avanan. Ki yitain isha re'eyu. That's a klal. Kesef o kelim is the prat. Lishmor is to watch. That means generally to watch. Whether you say it's really a general, it doesn't say lishmor, something's general. But again, the word lishmor we're going to assume. Chazar v'kalal. Klal pratu klal. Yatadan elekein a prat. Ma prami furash devar metaltel v'gufo mamon. Av kol devar metaltel v'gufo mamon. Yatsu karkaot shein metaltelin. Yatsu avadim shukshu lekarkaot. Yatsu shtaro chafa pish metaltelin en gufo mamon. Hekdesh re'eh uktif. Like I said, it's going to be a mantra. We're going to keep saying the same exactly. Nosei sachari no mashalem minal. Detanu rabanan. Ki yitain isha re'eyu. Right? When somebody gives something, someone something, that's a klal. Then it goes into specifics. Hamor oshor oseh. That's a prat. V'chol behema lishmor, that already, right, after we specified which animals, now it says, well, any animals. Chazar v'kala, klalu pratu klal, v'chule. The Gemara already spares us, okay? Too bad for Daf Yomi, right? It would have been a lot more words we could get through quickly. Anyway, so ad, okay, and then it even says, interestingly, v'chule ad hekdesh re'eu k'tiv. In other words, fill in the missing lines until we get to this part, and then hekdesh re'eu klal. It's interesting that they even specify that, because you could have just assumed until the end, which includes in all of them anyway, hekdesh re'eu, but I guess they're saying until the end of the klalu pratu klal, and then we add this re'eu, eliminates hektish. Okay. Going now to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir omer, yesh reim shein kikarka ve'einan kikarka. Right here it actually says kikarka, right? Whereas in the Mishnah, the nusach was bikarka. I don't know why it said bikarka. Really, it must be just a printing mistake here. Does yours say bikarka in the Mishnah?
It does, but it explains that things are attached to the ground but are not like ground. So that would explain.
They're bikarka, but I see. They're in the ground but not like karka. Interesting. Here, Dafka, the Nosaf says kikarka, so it's interesting. Okay, I didn't look into it when I was preparing. I don't know. Okay. Michlal di Rabbi Meir Savar kol mechubar lakarka eino kikarka. From here you can infer what? That Rabbi Meir holds, it sounds like, anything that's attached to the ground is not considered like karka. Because he talks about these kfanim that are attached to the ground and they're not viewed like karka. Now, if that's his approach, that anything that's mechubar lakarka is not like karka, then I don't understand, the Gemara is going to say, why he chose the case of kfanim ti'unot, that they were full of grapes. Because for all intents and purposes, you could say, Adamifle gave a tunot, Lifle gave a srukot. You could talk about empty panim also. If his whole shitah, there's karka, and then there's mechubar lakarka, and mechubar lakarka is not like karka, then he could have used any example of something not attached, anything attached to the ground, even if it didn't have fruits on it. So why did he specifically choose when there were fruits on there? And this is a machloket we've seen before. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. We're talking about anavim that are they're full of grapes that are ready to be harvested. De Rabbi Meir savar kibitzurot amyan, v'Rabbanan savar lo kibitzurot amyan. The machloka between them is if you have something that could be cut off today, it's all ripe and ready. Do we view that as detached from the ground already? Because it's just mechusar ma'aseh, as you say. Like, as soon as you cut it, it's already going to be detached. Or do we view it as attached to the ground because it's still attached to the ground? So that's the exact machloket. So chachamim will say, we view this like karka because you still haven't cut them. As long as you haven't cut them, they're karka, they're attached to the ground. And Rabbi Meir holds, if it's regular things, mechubar la karka, we're going to treat them like karka. But if they're ripe and ready to be cut, we're going to treat it as if it's already cut. So that's the machloket in the Mishnah.
They talk about during Shabbat, if it's ripe, if Chachamim think, well, it's still attached, but Rabbi Meir says...
On Shabbat, but you can't pick it. You're saying on Shabbat it would be different because you can't pick it because it's Shabbat. That's what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, yeah, but what if he's saying, well, it's not karka because it's not really attached because it's ready to be picked, but it's not really ready to be picked because you couldn't pick it on Shabbat.
Ah, you're saying the fact that you can't pick it on Shabbat makes it not actually ready to be picked. But I guess he's saying if you come in a Yom Kol and you have this argument and you say, well, you know, here's your stuff and do we view this as karka or not? So he'll say, well, since you could just snip it like that, you know. It's theoretical. I mean, right. You're right that theoretically you can't pick it on Shabbat, but theoretically you could pick it on a Yom Kol. And obviously we're talking about a fight that's going on a regular day. Einish ba'in ela davar shebemidah v'shebemishkal. So Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela de amarle bayit stam. Aval amarle, okay, now what this really means is you can't say bayit stam, just the word bayit, because the Mishnah already says you said bayit male. Okay, so what he means is if you said bayit male stam, you just said, okay, bayit male masarti lecha. Aval amarle, bayit ze male, yediyah ta'ante. But if you say, this house I gave you full of fruits, then the assumption is you meant this house full of fruits, full to the top. Okay, so Therefore, that would already be davar shebiminyan or bimishkal or bimidan. That you're specifying a specific house. Okay, so that would count. Amale Rava. Rava says, it doesn't make any sense. Because ihachi, if you're saying that bayit zeh would work, and that the Mishnah was only talking about a case where you said a bayit stam, the rest of the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Because what does it say in the Sefer? Ihachi adetane Sefer. Remember, the Mishnah said, if you say bayit zeh masarti lecha, or kismale, and the guy said, ein yodea alamashi yinachta atanotel, he's patur. But if he says, one says ad aziz, and the other one says ad achalon, and they're talking about different heights, right? So here's the ziz coming out, and here's the window. Okay, so if one said it's to the ziz and one says it's to the window, okay, so then we assume that that is bimida ubimishkal biminyan. Now, what's the problem? The problem is if Abaye is saying the Mishnah is only talking about Abaye stam. So if you say they're arguing about Abaye stam, whether it was to the ziz or the chalon, well, your windows are not exactly the same height as my windows, and your protrusion might not be the same height as my protrusion. And therefore, it's not a davar shebimidah ubiminyan if it's stam. It would have to be by itzeh. So we're going to read that inside, yeah? Adtani sefa zeh omer ad aziz, vezeh omer ad achalom chayav, liflog belitnei bedida. It should have specified right there. Bamed v'amamurim bebayit maleh. Aval bayit zeh maleh chayav. And then it should have continued, right? Bayit zeh maleh chayav. And then, you know, with zeh omer ad aziz and zeh omer, it would have to be within the case of bayit zeh. It wouldn't make sense otherwise. So therefore, Rava rejects a bias understanding. Ela amar Rava lo olam eino chayav, ad shiitanenu b'davar shebimidah b'mishkal b'minyan, v'yodelo b'davar shebimidah b'mishkal b'minyan. So Rava says it has to be that both the ta'ana is something that's measurable and the claim of the other person has to be also b'midah b'mishkal. Whereas if you notice, the case that they gave in the Mishnah is bayam male masarti lecha, and then the other guy says eini yodea elamashi inachta tanotel, where he doesn't give any sort of measurement. So that's why it doesn't work. But if they say ad aziz and ad achalon, then already each one is giving a measurement. So it has to be that both have to give a measurement. And here's a braita to support Rava. Tanya kavate de Rava. Kor tfu'a libiyadcha. Okay, I have a kor, that's a measurement of tfu'a, that I gave to you. V'hala omer, ein lecha biyadi. And the other one says, I don't have any of your tfu'a. Patur. Okay, that's kofer bakol. Minoragdo, that's not so relevant yet. Menorah gdola yesh li biyadcha. I have a large menorah of mine that I gave to you. And the guy claims, ein lecha biyadi ela menorah ktana. I only gave you a small menorah. I'm sorry, you only gave me a small menorah. Patur. He's patur. Why is he patur? We're going to see, because those are two different items. A big menorah and a small menorah are two different things. Azorah gdola yesh li biyadcha, a large belt I gave you. Ein lecha biyadi ela azurah ktana. I only have a small belt, patur. Aval im amar lo kor tfua yesh li biyadcha, v'hala omer ein lecha biyadi ela letech chayav. But if we differ over how much, was it a kor or was it half a kor, which is a letech, then is chayav moto b'miktad. If we say minorah bat eser litrin yesh li biyadcha, right, the minorah was the weight of 10 litrin. And he says, what are you talking about? The menorah was only a weight of 5. Then he's chayav. Klaloshal davar, lo'olam eino chayav ad shiitanenu b'davar shebimidah b'mishkal v'minyan, v'yodelo b'davar shebimidah b'mishkal v'minyan. So it needs to be something that has a measurement, right? That we're debating over what the measure of it was. Okay, it has to be specific. So now the Gemara says, okay, here's where we get to our case. How does this relate? Klalo shel davar la'atuye mai. Why does it say at the end, klalo shel davar? Klalo shel davar always means we have to be adding something. Otherwise, it would be obvious, right? Generally, the Mishnah doesn't tell us the klal. Usually, the Mishnah tells us the halacha. And from there, we're supposed to infer the klal. So when the Mishnah specifically, or a braita in this case, says, this is the klal, the reason is they're telling you to include some other case that they didn't mention in the source. So in this braita, what did we see? Assume klalo shel davar is coming to include? Latuye mai, lav latuye bayit zemale. Isn't it trying to say, if you say bayit zemale, then you're not going to have to take a shvua on it? Right, so according to this 1 second, you would say that, 1 second, isn't it coming to include, I just want to make sure, According to this, by bayit zemaleh, I believe we're going to say that you're not going to be chayav on a bayit maleh. Right, you're not going to be chayav because you didn't specify, right? If you just say it right, right. The whole point is, abaye said bayit zemaleh. If you said this house that's full, we assume you mean this house that's full, that's b'midah. And the Rava says here, no, that's obviously the case. They're excluding from here. They're saying, kalal shel davar is to say that if, well, again, it's tricky because the klal says, you know, you will, you're not going to be chayav unless it's davar shel b'midah mishkal minyan. What case is it including in the p'tur? In other words, you won't be chayav. In a case where you said bayit zemaleh, because that's not enough of a measurement. Okay, so now the Gemara says, that, so that's his proof. Okay? Again, it's not so clear cut that you don't have to read the Braita that way. But they're assuming what other case could it possibly be including, or again, it's more a little bit excluding here. It's tricky because it says, Eino chayav ad sheyitanenu. So it's talking about your patur if you didn't do it this way, and your chayav if you did do it that way. So they're talking about the fact that your patur, if you didn't specify midah mishkal minyan, is including an additional case of bayit zemaleh where you're going to be patur from the shvu. So now the Gemara says, just to explain the Braita, not connected to this, they want to understand what's the difference between menorah gedolah, menorah ktana, and menorah bat eser litrin and chamesh litrin, because in essence, you're basically saying gedolah or ktana, was it 10 or 5? So the Gemara says, u'mayishna menorah gedolah, menorah ktana, mashtano lo hodalo, mashadalo lo tano. Right? Obviously, the reason why menorah gedolah, menorah ktana doesn't work is because what he claimed, the other guy didn't admit. He admitted to something else. Ihachi, but eser bat chamesh nami. It's the same thing with the weight. Mashitano lo hodalo, mashitano lo tano, right? He said it was a menorah this size, and he said it was a menorah that size. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, hacha b'menorah shel chuliyot askinan, dekamode le mina. Okay, so what's he saying? He's saying that in a menorah of chuliyot, what's chuliyot? It's kind of like made up of parts. So he's basically saying, you only gave me the parts that were up to chamesh litrin, and not to eser litrin, okay? Some people explain also that it could mean that if you have a size, the menorah could actually be the same size. It could just be thinner or thicker.
I say, you can have a large menorah.
Exactly. You can have a large menorah that visually doesn't look much different. It's just a matter of, right, what its weight is. Okay, so that's another way of understanding this answer. Ihachi azoha nami. Nitnevelok maybe delife. Notice, the Braita only gave a different case for the menorah, but it didn't give a parallel case by the belt where you could have said, well, you know, maybe it weighed less or it had less material on it. So why don't you say bedelife, where it's made of this material, that you could have just cut the material and, you know, had less of the belt there. Ela delife lo katane. So it doesn't say that. Hachanami bishel chuliot lo katane. I explained too early. At this point, we're just up to, forget about what I said about the thin and thick. At this point, we're just up to assuming it's chuliot, okay, where you could take parts of it out, in which case they say, well, then the belt could have also been where the belt is made of sections, and you could just cut, right? Imagine a belt is made of fabric. Cut the fabric, and, you know, you could just claim, oh, this was the belt that you gave me, and it's the same belt, or it looks the same, it's just smaller. So then they say, no, ela delife lo katane, hachanami b'shol chuliot lo katane. So you can't say it's chuliot, because then we would have a parallel case in the belt. And we want to find a case where there isn't a parallel in the belt. So Amar Rav Abba Bar Mamal, shani menorah, ho'il v'yachol l'gora l'amidah l'chamesh litrin. When it comes to a menorah, delife is where it's got, maybe I'm explaining it wrong, I think I'm confusing it with the answer. Delife is when you have... Right, it's what they're saying with the life is when you have, as opposed to one strip, it's where it's made up of parts, almost like a parchment of a Torah, where you have different pieces attached to each other. So you could just you could take out the stitches, and then you'd have the belt without that part. So it'd be very easy to take it off without it looking noticeably different. So they say, so it can't be something like Julio, which would be that comparable. So that comparison. So what do they say? No, menorah is different because you can basically thin it out, obviously depending on what it's made of. You can take your thin one, take some of it off and make it thinner, but it would still appear the same way. Here's where the thin and thick comes in, or different explanations about what exactly legorara is, but you could somehow make it look without it being noticeable, okay? Whereas when you're talking about a belt, what would you have to do? You'd have to cut the material. And the assumption is, I don't know why this is an assumption, again, to understand this properly, you have to better understand the reality of their days and what materials they were using and how they made these things. Because it seems to me if you cut the edges so you could sew it up and make it look like make it look the same. But I guess they claim a belt is not going to be the same length. If you cut it, it would be noticeable that it was shorter. Whereas the menorah could be the same size, just thinner, and the thin thick is not as noticeable as the size. So whereas the belt, it would have to be obviously smaller. You can't thin out the material of the belt and, have
what
it be.
What did he mean when he said a small belt? He meant thinner belt?
No, so when he said a small belt, no, what was the difference? In the belt case, they only gave the case where it's not going to be Mimi Natana. He said big, he said small. We're obviously talking about two different things. Whereas in the menorah, you could have a case where it's still Mimin HaTana, where it's a subset of it. Whereas a belt, you can't have that kind of a thing. Again, understanding better their reality would help to understand this a little bit clearer, what exactly they're talking about. Okay, new mission. Hamavet chavera lamashkon, va'avad hamashkon. Somebody lends someone money with a collateral, and the collateral gets lost. Okay, so the malveh loses the collateral. So now there's a debate about how much the collateral was lost. We actually saw this in the past, and here I've made a whole chart to see there's going to be four cases. The first two cases, the malveh is claiming that how much it shaveh, and then the loveh disagrees with him. The second two cases, the loveh is claiming on the malveh, and it's, okay, let's put it like this. The first two, the malveh claims I lost it, and you still owe me money because even though I lost your mashkon, the mashkon wasn't worth the full amount of the loan. The second cases are the loveh says the mashkon was worth more than the loan, and because you lost my mashkon, you have to pay me the difference of what the mashkon had. And then they have a debate about what the values were, and we'll see. We're going to see exactly how it works. So hamavet chaveru al hamashkon va'avad hamashkon. So the first case is the malveh says, amarlo, sela haviti chalav. Okay, all these cases, the halva was a sela. We're going to see that refrain. It was all about a sela. Okay, a sela is worth 2 shkalim, which is worth 4 dinarim. You have to get that to understand this. B'shekel hayah shaveh. So I lent you a sela. The mashkon you gave me was worth half a sela, a shekel. And the lova says, "Lo ki ela sela havitani alav." No, the mashkon was worth a sela. Sela havitani alav. You lent me a sela. V'sela hayashave, and the mashkon was worth a sela. That's a classic case of kofer bakol, because he's basically saying, "I don't owe you any money, right? Because I gave you my mashkon, and you lost the mashkon." Now, there's an assumption here that the person, the malveh, assumes a level of responsibility like a shomer sachar for a mashkon. When he takes your mashkon, what's his level of shmirah, his level of responsibility? What's obvious from here is if he loses it, then it's his responsibility, basically. So he assumes responsibility like a shomer sachar. So there's a bit of a debate here about whether he actually is a shomer sachar. Now, why would he be a shomer sachar? He's not getting money for the halva'ah, but we saw this in Bava Metzia. He's considered a shomer sachar because he gets sachar, not financial sachar, but for doing a mitzvah of lending you money. So he's gotten rewarded for it, and therefore he's shomer sachar. Some people say, no, it's not that he really is a shomer chinam, but his level of responsibility, because he took this collateral from you, goes up a level. As even though technically he's really only a shomer chinam, he's not getting paid for this, but he's assuming responsibility like a shomer sachar. Okay, so either he actually is a shomer sachar because he gets some sort of sachar, or we view it that he at least has responsibility like a shomer sachar, even though he's not actually a shomer sachar. So he says it was a sela, so he's patur because he's kofer bakol. Okay, I put this all on the chart. But the mefarshim explain here, you can see in the chart I added it, he's actually, so what happens if he's patur? So he actually doesn't have to pay back any money for the loan, but he has to swear shvuat hesed in order to not do that. Okay, he has to swear that really it was worth a sela because otherwise, that's like one of those derabanan takanot. Sela haviti chalav v'shekel hayashaveh. So again, he says the same thing, right? I gave you a sela, and it was the mashkon was only worth a chatzi sela. V'halav omer lo ki ela sela havitani alav u'shlosha dinarim hayashaveh. Okay, so what's the claim now? The Mava claims you owe me half a sela, you owe me a shekel, which is two dina, which is four dinarim. And the Mava said, the Lova says, I'm sorry, you owe me a shekel, which is two dinarim. And the Lova says, no, my collateral was actually worth three dinarim, which means I owe you one dinar. Okay, so they're fighting over one versus two. So that's a case. What are we going to say, right? Because the Lova is Moda b'mikta. Now we're going on. Now it's the Lova talking. The Lova says, okay, my chart doesn't switch the order, but really it should be the Lova's first here to claim. The Lova says, you lent me a sela. Ushtayim ayashavan. I gave you a mashkon worth double the amount. No, your mashkon was worth the exact amount, right? And I don't owe you anything. And the Lova's claiming, what do you mean? You took responsibility to watch my mashkon. You lost it. It was worth double the amount. You owe me a sela now. And the guy says, what are you talking about? It was worth the exact amount of the loan. He's patur. What about, so there is kofir. Bako, sela hilvitani alavu shtayim ayashaveh. So again, the Lova says, the mashkon was worth double the amount. It was worth one dinar more. So I owe you one dinar, but I don't owe you the four dinarim that you claim I owe you. Chayav. Okay, so now in this case, he has to swear. Why does he have to swear? Because he's moda b'mikta. He's moda that he owes him something. He's just not moda that he owes him the whole amount. Now there's this very strange line. After we just said who's chayav and who's patur, and it's very clear in the cases 1 and 3, they're both patur, right? Nobody swears, except for Shvor Hesse, which we're not really talking about now because the Mishnah is certainly not relating to it. And the second two cases, numbers 2 and number 4, first we have the Lova swearing, and then we have the Malva swearing. So now comes this line, Uminishba, who swears? Misha pikadon etzlo, the one who has the pikadon, which basically means, well, it depends, but let's assume... Right. It seems to have to be the Malveh, because the Malveh had the Pikadon, right? So it's obviously the Malveh. He lost the Pikadon, right? The Pikadon is the Mashkon here. So he would have to swear. Why does he have to swear? Now, this doesn't make any sense, because in case number 2, we said the Lova has to swear. Case number 1 and 3, we said nobody has to swear. So the Gemara is going to obviously say, what's this case referring to? And in case number 4, it's obvious the Malveh swears. So it's totally unnecessary at all to say this line. So anyway, who swears? Misha pikadon is low, and what's the reason? Shema yishavaze viyotzi halata pikadon. What happened in this whole thing? The first thing that happened was that the Malveh claimed that he lost the pikadon. Now, and then the whole debate is, well, what was the value of this pikadon? So if somebody swears about it, right, let's say the Loveh swears, and then somehow the Malveh doesn't like the outcome of the case, right? Because the Lova swears. So the Malveh can pull out the Pikadon and say, oh, I just found it. I thought it was lost, but here it was found, and here's the value. And then, what's the problem? So according to Rashi, the problem is that we made this guy swear falsely. Now, what does it mean we made him swear falsely? Okay, and we don't want people to swear falsely. So even though, obviously, the Lova, on his own volition, swore falsely, we don't want to create a situation where someone swears falsely. And therefore, the one who had the pikadon, we make him swear so that he doesn't try to play some trick on us, pull out the pikadon, and make the guy have turned out to be a false swearer. That's Rashi. It's a bit of a weakness because it's a weakness in Ishita, which is, well, if the guy decides to swear, why are we protecting him from swearing? It's his fault that he swears. Although we do see that Nimnu Umil Hashpiyah, the Almanah that we talked about, they don't want her to swear to get her tuba money, so we're worried she's going to lie. So there are cases where Halacha says, don't make people swear in case they might lie. Rabbeinu Chanan says, I think, a little better, which is that if he actually pulls out the pikadon, then the swear will have been in vain, because we could have just assessed the property. So therefore, we're worried about Shvuat Shav. And therefore, we basically say, well, let the Malveh swear so that the Malveh will basically, if he really does have the Pikadon, before he swears falsely, he'll pull out the Pikadon and we can avoid this unnecessary shvuah. So that's another way of looking at it. Okay, so now we go back to Ahayo, which is this case referring to, this last line. Ilema aseifa, if you want to say it's saying, well, the Malveh has to swear in the last case. Okay, it's very easy if you follow with the chart, the four cases. If it's the last case, we already said, he's chayav. Because he's moda b'mikta. So if it's the seifa, v'tepukle de shvua gabe Malveh, we already learned that the shvua, the Malveh, has to take it. So you don't need to say it's because he has the pikadon in his hands. No, it's because he's moda b'mikta. So Amar Shmuel, and obviously it's not relevant to the case numbers 1 and 3 where he's patur. So Amar Shmuel, Aresha. V'chein Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Rava, Aresha. Okay, so they say it's obviously referring to the Resha. So now, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Aresha Mai, which Resha case? So my Resha, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Aresha, period. Okay, so all these people said it was Aresha, three people, Shmuel, Chiya bar Rav, and Rabbi Yochanan. And then the Gemara says, which Resha? Seifa de Resha. Obviously the Seifa, okay? But if you're going to say the Seifa, it also doesn't make sense, right? Sela viti chalav, v'shekel ayashaveh, v'ala omer loki ela sela vitani lav, u'shlosha dinarim ayashaveh, chayav yeshvua gabe lovehu. Okay? Right? Now the shvua is supposed to be on the loveh. But what happens in this case? Shaklua rabbanan miloveh v'shadua amalveh. So this is a case, remember we talked about these avchinan shvua, where one can say, oh, I don't want to swear, you swear. In this case, the rabbis flip the shvua. So mi'ikar adin, the shvua is on the loveh, because he was modeh b'mitzat. But the rabbi said, because the malveh had the pikadon, and we're worried about the shvua chav, whichever way you read it, Rashi or Rabbeinu Chananel, basically we're going to switch the shvua and put it onto the malveh. Okay? That's one interpretation. Amarav Ashi, dekai malan, Zenishba she'eno, it's not da'amar. Da'amar would be a continuation. But here it's saying amar. Okay, he's going to say a different explanation. Amar Rav Ashi, dekai malan, zenishba she'eno bershuto, v'zenishba kama shaveh. Rav Ashi says, it's not that we flip the shvua, it's that both have to take a shvua. And one has to swear, the malva has to swear he doesn't have it anymore, which is very similar to what? The Shomer Chinam, who in a Gneva Vaveda case has to say, I don't have this. Okay, here it's different. Here he has to say, I don't have it so that we don't have to, so that, because if he really does have it, we won't have to worry about what the assessment of it is. V'zenishba kama shaven, and then the other one has to swear, I swear it was only worth this amount, right? And therefore, I swear it was worth more, and therefore I don't have to pay you back at all. And then the question is, why did the Mishnah say, who swears? So what did it mean when it said that? Hachi kamar, mi nishba tchila, who swears first? Okay, they both swear, but it's a matter of who swears first, and obviously, who's going to swear first? Misha pikadon etzlo, shema yishabazeh v'yotzi ala at hapikadon. Okay, and that's the whole reason we're going to do this, so that he doesn't pull out the pikadon on us. Amar Shmua. Now we're going to talk about mashkonin, okay? So this whole thing of collateral, what if you give a collateral, okay, Shmuel's going to be mechadesh, let's read Shmuel and then we'll talk about it. Amar Shmuel, Haiman de'ozfei alfa zuzei l'chavrei. He lends his friend 1,000 zuzim. Umashken le kata de magla. And he gives him a mashkon of a handle of a magala sickle. Okay, obviously it's not worth 1,000 zuzim, okay? Avad kata de magla, Aved alfa zuza. If he loses the kata damagla, he loses the elef zuz. Okay? Now, this is a very strange halacha, it seems, right? Why all of a sudden are we going to be basically saying this? And his chidush is that basically, if you give the mashkon kineged your shavua, okay, he's saying two things here, okay? One is that we'll see in the Gemara later, and it's going to continue into tomorrow to understand the Shita better. So we won't understand it perfectly yet today. But the idea being that the assumption is there's two ways you could give a mashkon. One is that you give the mashkon just as a way to make sure you give the money back. And one is that you give the mashkon as a way of saying, well, if I don't pay back, keep this mashkon. But we do this all the time, right? You leave your driver's license somewhere, or right, if you want to take something, they'll say, well, leave me your driver's license as a security. So the question is, when you're doing that, is that in case I don't pay it back, will you have my driver's license and it's worth something? Well, not really, right? But it could be that they're viewing it that way. You know, that you're basically, let's say, I'll give you a better example. You leave a deposit. So the deposit is in case, right, you give a key deposit sometimes in a, I don't know, like a, or a locker deposit. Right? In case you don't return the lock, then we have money. Or in case you don't return the key, then we have money to replace that item. So even what Shmuel's saying is, even if the item isn't worth the amount of the loan, it could have been given in a way that it was kineged the loan. Okay? And therefore, if the loveh is saying, well, if you lose my mashkon, even if it wasn't worth that much, Obviously, if he still has the mashko and he gives back the handle and the guy gives back the money, we're not really assuming this is going to be l'gviya. What we're saying is the malveh has a responsibility toward the loveh to give him back his mashkon. And if he's not going to give him back his mashkon because he loses it, well, then he's responsible fully, right? And and basically the loan is canceled, which is a very radical concept, especially when you're talking about, you know, he's giving an example of a very radical example where it's worth basically nothing, okay? One second, I wanted to see one thing. Right, and it's also that what he's basically saying is also he's taking responsibility for Geneva, Aveda, and some people say even Ones. If you remember, a Shomer Sachar is only responsible for Geneva, Aveda, not for Ones. There's a debate among the Mefarshim whether this guy, the in general in Mashkon case, whether the Malveh is responsible also for Onsin, okay, or not. There's a debate about that. I think it's also like an issue of respect. Here the loveh took money from him, right, as a loan, and he gave him something of his own, something that was personal or something, whatever, that meant something to him, and if the malveh is not going to be responsible enough to watch it, well, the loan is, he forfeits on the loan, basically. So that's how Shmuel views it. But then he says, okay, now we're going to see a three-way opinion here about this, or three different opinions about how this works. Aval tarte kate lo. But if he gave him two of these, then no, then we're not going to say it's keneged. Then already we're going to say that, right, according to him, if it's tarte, then
he doesn't lose 500 Jews since the last handle was not collateral for half of the loan.
Right. And he loses one of them, right? Right. This is the case. If he takes two and he loses one, then already, how do we view Shmuel? Well, the Mava lost the collateral, but here he only lost part of the collateral. So since he only lost part of the collateral, we're going to say he's not responsible. Okay, but now we're going to see a different opinion. Nahar de Amre, afilu kata venascha, even if he gives him a handle of a sickle and a chunk of silver, which is obviously worth a lot more, aved nascha avapalga, avakata avakule. If he loses, sorry. Rav Nachman Amar, afilu tarte kate, avakada avakameshmeo, aved idach avakule. Rav Nachman views this, if you have two katot, each is keneged half the loan. Okay, even though obviously they're not worth it all. Avakata v'naschalo, but if you have a kata and you have a chunk of silver, then you're not going to view it that way. Let's say you lose the silver, we're going to say, if you give silver and you give the kata, then obviously the silver was keneged the value of whatever the silver was. Let's say it was 750 zuzim, and then the kata was keneged the rest. So if you lose the nascha, then he loses 750, and then the guy just has to pay him back. Right, then he gives back the mashkon, and he gets back, the loveh has to pay him the extra 250. Third opinion, Nahar de Amra, afilu kata v'nascha, ave nascha, ave palga. If even kata and nascha, we're going to say two items, since they don't altogether fill the entire loan, we're going to basically say, this is half and this is half. Crazy shita. Aved nascha, you lose half of it. Aved kata, aved kule. If you lose both, then you're going to lose the whole loan. But if it's just one, it's going to be 50-50. Tnan, sela viticha alav sveshekha layashaveh, v'ala omer loki ala sela vitani alav shosha dinari mayashaveh, chayav. Now the mission makes no sense according to this whole thing, because leimale, according to Shmuel, what could you say? Hakabilte. In other words, you could say, I don't care that it was worth only shlosha dinarim, but the mashkon was keneged the entire loan, right? So basically, he shouldn't have to owe him anything. Right? So then they say, bide parish. Matnitim bide parish, Shmuel bide lo parish. There's actually, you can explain this way and the opposite. Okay, there's different opinions about how to explain this. But we'll explain it like this, that what he means is, the Mishnah is bide parish. Okay, there's the opposite girsa. The Mishnah is, we're going to go by the girsa here. The Mishnah is where he specified that it was not keneged the loan. In other words, I'm giving you this for the value. Whereas bide lo parish, Shmuel is talking about where you didn't specify anything and you just said stam, then we're going to assume that your mashkon was keneged the whole loan, which makes Shmuel as radical as he sounds. The opposite girsa makes Shmuel sound more reasonable, which is only if you specify that this is keneged the entire loan, I'm giving you a magal, right, a handle of a magal, and this is keneged the entire loan, Only if you specify that is Shmuel's halacha going to come into play. So that girsa makes a lot more sense. You could see why they would have switched the girsa and said it's the opposite, because that already minimizes Shmuel. It says only when you specify. But the way we read the pshat of the Gemara is that Shmuel is across the board. Stam, if you didn't say anything, then we're assuming that your mashkon covers the entire thing, even though it's not valued at that. Okay, well, leave it today. We're going to continue more on this topic tomorrow.